This is page 17, the last section of 17, verses 7 to the end. And as you remember, we start looking into the destruction in Babylon of this situation, which is the coming to an end of the church era. And here is what we have. We have a first section where we talk about the religious antichrist. Some people call Babylon, the religious Babylon. I call it the religious antichrist, building up against the Lord. And so we pick up the pieces in verse 7 and 8. And these verses describe the power, the source of power of the religious antichrist. The first thing that we learn from verse 7 is that the religious antichrist is a mystery. The Bible said, "And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the women." Remember, the women is a picture of the church, but there was a fake church. And therefore, the Bible described the religious antichrist as a mystery. So when people are trying to say, well, the antichrist is the Roman Empire, the antichrist is the Catholic Church, and so on, they are speaking bad, because the Bible says a mystery. We see things of antichrist situation in many denominations, but we cannot pinpoint one, because the Bible says here is a mystery, all right? Now, he's... earthly power is completely described here in verse 7. "I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carry her, which has seven heads and ten horns." The seven heads, remember, are a representation of a complete political control upon the world. And the supernatural power of the beast is in verse 7, where the Bible said, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." In other words, that we are a kind of a resurrection format of these religious antichrist leader, and is going to be a resurrection power just like Christ. Also, verse 8 in chapter 17 describe his end or doom. In verse 8, we will see, he said, "So it was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." In other words, there is going to be an impact, tremendous impact, in the unbelievers, that these antichrists, these religious antichrists, will be resurrected. Now, Christ's resurrection, people doubt it, but this, they're going to see him. And God will allow this scenic thing that my head cannot comprehend it totally, but there will be a situation in which this religious leader, according to verse 7 and 8, will get the source of power from Satan, and then move in control of the entire universe, and then be killed, and then raised again. There is more details in chapter 18 and 19 about this. And so people will say, wow, this is it. This is the person that we need to worship. In other words, people do not go by the word of God. They go by what they see. And that's the danger, and emotions and things like that. That's very, very dangerous. Now, in verses 9 and 10 of this chapter, the power of the beast of the Antichrist is described. Look at the geographical location in verse 9 is given. And here is the mind which has wisdom, the seven head and the seven mountains on which the woman is seated. In other words, it is in a location where the government belonged to a mountain section. Now, Rome is sitting on seven mountains. And for years, I remember from year 1945 on, people were thinking that this is the Roman Catholic Church. But what I think is not, is because if you look careful to verse 7, they say the seven heads are seven mountains. In other words, each head for each mountain. See, it's not one head on seven mountains. It's seven head on seven mountains. And so people were thinking the Catholic Church is upon seven mountains in Italy. That's where the residency of the Pope is. And they saw, well, that is the Antichrist. But it doesn't say that. The scriptures say that there are seven political governments, seven heads, and there are seven mountains. So these governments belong to a geographical location where there is mountains. And in verse 10, the political makeup is given, and there are seven kings, all right? And look, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. Now, that's a complete description, and let's see if we can have the clue on this, all right? Five are fallen. Here are the political empires, they are fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medo-Persia, and Greece. These are the five empires, so far as we know, the world knows. They're gone. Again, when the Bible says here in verse 10, and 17, five are fallen, here are the five. Egypt was the first empire, then Assyria, which is Iraq, and then Babylon, that's Nebuchadnezzar, and then the Medo-Persia, and then the Greece, and these empires are gone. One continues, they said here in verse 10. See, and one is, and that's the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church has power in many officials of the entire world. Not too long ago, about 20 years ago, they dropped Mexico dropped the bomb of separation between the Catholic Church and the state. They were taking 30% of their taxes to Rome. Argentina were taking, under General Perón, broke with Rome. They were taking another 30%. And they, in other words, one empire of those who were in existence is still running. And under a religious format, the Romans are in control. And one is on the rising, according to verse 10, and the Bible says, and the other is not yet come. And I put in my paper two questions. Could that be China, or could that be the Iranian empire, the Arab empire, the world of the Arab empire? All right? I was listening. I just left to put some mail and back and listening to our president speaking for this business of making the mesquite where they destroy the towers. In New York, they're going to do a blasphemy. And now he's convinced that it's okay for the government to do it. And there is no reason to vote or anything. He has the power to decree the building. And the mayor of the city is really mad because the mayor usually and the councils are the ones who determine the buildings of the city. And that's a violation of Americans' law. But you never know. I listen. I cannot make any statement, but I listen and I say, somebody's going to be raising up some empire. We need one more. See, verse 10 said, one yet come. And so China is very quiet, is dominating the world by money and control the world by money. And the authorities in China are very happy. The people are very poor, but the authorities are very happy. They have the money. But the Arabs love a control of the world. They have it in the year 700, excuse me, in the year 400, and their list went all the way to the year 1100, 700 years of domination. And so it could be that there is a raising of that empire, but one empire is going to come. Watch the news, read it, don't make any assertion, just be on the alert that America is going to be gone, that we don't have any more resources to be the world power. One is going to be, and it's all the sign of God for the coming of the Lord. So that's what verse 10 is telling us. Now, verses 11, verse 12, 13, and 14 describe the terrible purpose of the religious Antichrist, and so we look on it. And let's look in verse 11, the being behind the drama. Verse 11 said, and the beast that was, and is not, and even he is the eight, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. We know one person that was in the Bible called go into perdition. That is Judah. He was the son of perdition. but goes into perdition, there is another personhood in the Bible, and that is Satan himself. And so the first thing that we learn, that the being behind the drama of the complete world domination is Satan himself. You remember in Isaiah, it's described in verse 12, he said, I will rise, I will go into the highest, I will sit in the high powers, and so on. And so he is the drama. Now, look at, in verse 12, the conglomerate coalition that is going to be formed. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as king 1 hour with the beast. In other words, Satan will allow 10 political kingdoms to control the entire arena. And those people will feel that they have the ability to do it. They will never think are in the hands of Satan. They will never dream that they are just puppets of Satan. But 10 kings are the conglomerate coalition they're going to be formed in order to foresee the best for the entire world. Now, the idea behind the project is described in verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, which is Satan himself. In other words, their mind is to have power, their mind is to have dominion, and Satan will sell that. That's this today to all of us with temptations, and that's what Satan will do in the national project. Then verse 14, the disclosure of their plans. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. That's the very end. That's the very end. Finally, they will have such a confidence that they are in control of the world. And remember, the Lamb is not only Christ, it's everybody that belongs to Christ. And they will have such a confidence that we don't need this religious thing. We don't need this business of the gospel. And they will go head on. They are so blind. They will go head on against the Son of God, and they're going to be destroyed. And then in verse 14, the final outcome is given. For he is Lord, talking about Jesus, for he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now that's you and me. In other words, look at this. You have been called. Remember when you took Jesus in your heart? It's because God called you. You know, great? God called you. We don't hear any voice, anything like this, but we look in the scripture, we thought they were wrong, we don't care, and so on, and one day we look again, and one day we were caught on it. So I want to look this. Oh, I want to look in here. Oh, I listen to my friend. Oh, I listen to a radio broadcast or to something over there. And then you listen, and suddenly you say, boy, that makes sense. And see, you the Bible calls another term for that. You've been drawn to God. See, but you have to read and you have to believe. God's not going to believe for you. You have to do that. But behind that, you unknown to you and to me is the force of God, the Holy Spirit, bringing you into this. That's what I believe. The salvation is something very calm and very consciously. I don't like to call people, raise your hand, walk forward, do that, because in a moment of emotion, you can do something like that. I want to be something from within, from within. And that's very important. In verse 14, then, the final outcome of the entire economy of the Great Tribulation is that the believers will be up. You see, that there is no any sorrowful situation. People say, oh, the believers will be there. Don't worry about it. Look here. For he is, verse 14, that Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen. Now, nobody likes to use that word chosen. He said, what that mean? Well, God elected you. That he rejected somebody? No, he elected you. We were all rejected. Remember, the Bible said that we were all born in sin. So we all reject, and now all are rejected. God, for a mystery of his own, said that one. And then he said, and faithful. Boy, that's a strong word for us. The Bible says we are faithful. Because when God see Victor, when God see Pastor Rotero, he see Christ. And so God said, oh, those two fellows are perfect. But God did not ask their wife to see if we are perfect or not. But you see what I mean? It is very important that you have Christ in you, because you lose Christ and then your image comes before God. And as we talked this morning, God is holy, holy, and we are not. But when you're in Christ, God sees you as that way. So what the purpose of the religious antichrist is only one, to eliminate anything that is gospel. So we're going to see in the Congress in the United States and the laws of the state and so on, more and more ideas to eliminate the concept of the Bible. I was congratulated yesterday when I did the wedding for using the Bible. And these were religious people from a Presbyterian church. He said, we honor you that you use the Bible. You dare to mention the Bible in a wedding. What else are you going to mention? What else? But you see, the delusion is starting in the church. The church is what's getting weak. Now, nobody can conquer the United States. The United States are getting weak. Rather than being Americans, you know, they just, we have to be equal to anybody. No, we have to have compassion and nice with everybody, but we are Americans. We love freedom, and our fathers die for a country, a healthy country. And we in the world admire America for the strength and the protection that we receive from America. But right now there is a generation what school they study. they forgot about our country. This is all Satan's plan. And to get the whole army, to get a political system that is convinced that we do not need Christ anymore. And when that happened, that's the end of their end. According to verse 14. No, my end is their end. He said, these shall make war with the Lamb. In other words, he said, let's cancel everything that is religious. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Now, don't ask me how. Some people wrote, Harold Lenzi and the others, they write novels and telling things. Nobody knows how. When the Bible said the Lamb is Christ, how are they going to overcome? They're going to use you and me or somebody? No, the Bible doesn't say what God is going to use. But one thing the Bible said, he's going to overcome. And that's enough for me, all right, to have peace. Then the destruction of the religious antichrist is given here from verse 15 to 18. Look at in verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the whore seated, are people and multitude and nations and tongues. Religious antichrist, as we saw before in our previous sessions, will work with people and dominate people. And in the previous verses, they mentioned the word waters, and here is explained for you. Waters that you saw, remember that God gave a vision to John of a lot of water, where the Satan seated are peoples and multitude and so on. Satan works with that. He, as Christ works with people, Satan is an imitator, and he works with people in trying to conquer people. Now, verse 16 and 17, religious antichrist will be playing according to God's plan. Look at how carefully God put it. Verse 16, and the ten horns which thou sowest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat the flesh and burn her with fire. For God, verse 17, hath put in their heart to fulfill what?
His will.
And when I read that, I said, we are not at the mercy of circumstances. We are not at the mercy of Satan. We are not at the mercy of our political arena in America. God is putting in the heart of people to do something for his own purpose. I will try to vote and resist and be as free as I can, but I will not resist the plan of God. If God wanted it that way, go ahead. As I told Greg, maybe I end up in jail for standing in this church and saying no homosexual will be a member of this church or be married in this church. Once they approve this law, then they will call me a man who produces harassment. And there is another heavy word that they use. that is against the law, something. Hate crime, that's it. You know everything, so that day you'll be here, okay? And what about the choir? And we leave and we sit down over there. You know, we joke about it, we think about it, but it's coming. It's coming. I see not only that law, other sexual laws are into the fear that young people, 12 years old, I hear it, and 13 years old can do sex, and now it's no longer against the law. They will have freedom. In other words, remember what we read, that it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, the end time. I wonder about my granddaughters many times. I say, what world will they see? Are we blessed that we are in the house of God and that we know God? And we want to resist it with all we have. But if they carry through, we know there is no for too long. God's going to finish with that. Now, verse 18, religious antichrist will be absorbed by the state. And the woman, that is the religious antichrist, the false church, which thou sowest, is thy great city, will reign it over the kings of the earth. In other words, religious antichrist and the state will be one. And that's what people in 1940 thought the Roman Empire, who was so strong at that time, was the antichrist. But this is the whole world. It's not just one nation. The entire world will be under the domination of this. And it will be so obvious that in the next chapters, God describes how he's going to reject them and how he's going to face them. And finally, in chapter 19, the glorious victory of the church taken up with God into heavens and victory. So I said to myself, what do I learn from this? I learned this, that I should not be afraid or whatever I read in the newspapers or I hear in television about the depravity of man. I should not be afraid. It's like Romans 1 again. God's going to leave man to his own. And left to ourselves, boy, is ugly. Left to ourselves is ugly. Thank God that the Holy Spirit put restriction in our heart. Remember, God sent the Holy Spirit to put restrictions in our heart. When we sin as believers, our conscience and bad of us, hey, we have sinned, we have done this wrong. And imagine people without restriction, they had no limitations and no satisfaction. Every day we're trying to do something different. And when that's accomplished, will be something different and so on. There is never an end to be satisfied. So Revelation 17 teaches you of the awfulness of the Antichrist in a general picture and also the power of God and victory. So we should not be afraid of, should be prepared, but not be afraid.